And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, prophecy, it's so important. And it tells us in the Bible that the world will gravitate and become much like what we know as Sodom and Gomorrah in the last days. We're going to talk about that today when we discuss a volume of secrets, volume 234, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, several years ago, had a couple over our house, a very friendly, very nice couple. The lady was, about 35 years of age, maybe. And her little child, I guess, knew that I was in the Jesus business. I don't call it a business, a ministry. But he asked me, he says, "Mr. Tex," I said, "Yes." He says, "Do you think homosexuals are doing right?" I said, "Well, no, I don't." And he says, "Why?" I says, "Well, because what they do is against God." And he says, "How do you know that?" I said, "Well, it's in the Bible." I said, "You know, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah." He said, "What is Sodom and Gomorrah?" And I explained to him, and very gently, and didn't really get into the sex and all of that. But I told him that was why God destroyed that city. And then he went and told his mother, you know. And then I came back in the room. I was going somewhere and came out. And just, you know, a pleasant evening we had with this couple. And she said, "I want to ask you a question. You told my son that homosexuality was wrong?" I said, "Yes, indeed." She says, "Where's that in the Bible?" And I said, "Well, you know, this is going to turn into a long discussion. Are you sure you want to talk about it?" She said, "Yes, I've never heard this before." So I got at the Bible and I showed her Sodom and Gomorrah, and her mouth just dropped. She couldn't believe it. I didn't know that. I thought, you know, that homosexuality was okay. And of course, we're not too familiar with these people. We only saw them, you know, maybe, you know, one or two times every couple of years. But I told her yes, and I explained it. And, you know, I didn't get into heavy preaching and all that. I just told her, and she said, "I've never heard about Sodom and Gomorrah." And I was amazed. Now, it turns out that this young lady had been raised Roman Catholic and had never got into that subject. But she has, for about 12 years, been going to a very large church in California that is an evangelical church. And she even teaches Sunday school. And I said, "Your church never brings up this subject of Sodom and Gomorrah or homosexual?" She says, "No, never." And I said, "And you never teach it? It's not in any of your Sunday school literature?" "No." "So you've never read in the Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah?" "No," she said, "I haven't." I thought that everybody had. I thought everybody in the world, I mean, everybody knew, whether they even read the Bible or not, they knew the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. But you see, if you're up a little bit in age, you know, you're very special because you've been taught these things. The younger generation, and this woman was, as I said, she was in her probably late 30s. She had never even encountered this. She thought they were just wonderful. They were funny. She'd seen them on TV. She even mentioned the Rosie O'Donnell show was one of her favorites. And she was amazed, you know. Of course, she may have left my house saying, "Boy, what a bigot he is." I don't know. But if she did, she'd have had to say, "Well, God was a bigot too. God's the one that destroyed that city." Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, I want to talk about that today. I am convinced, dear friends, I am convinced that America is run, listen to me very carefully, is run, is operated by. At the highest levels, it is run by a gang of vicious sodomites. They are homosexuals, and most of them are also pedophiles. Now, how do I know that? I have the evidence. I know what they're doing. I know many names. There's some that I cannot tell you, but I know what they do. I get witness reports. I get, and they're corroborated. I know there are many liars out there, and people make up stuff, and they're fictitious, but there are also truth tellers, whistleblowers. They tell me about these vicious, horrible homosexuals. Some of them, they congregate in various locations. They actually have meetings regularly of these homosexual politicians, these pedophiles. They actually take little kids and they rape these little kids. It's so horrible. I tell you, I don't even talk to my wife about these things. Maybe I shouldn't even mention them on the air. I'd like to know from you, because it leads you to think, and rightly so, that America is a place, a den of iniquity, a place of evil. And of course it is. You see, Satan is God of this world, small g, not a big G. He is God of this world. The Bible tells us flat out he's God of this world. Remember when he took Jesus to a very high place, and Jesus looked down and he had all the kingdoms of the world before him. And Satan said, bow down and worship me, and I will give you all of these things. He was speaking to Jesus in the flesh as both man and God. And he thought he could tempt Jesus. Now listen to me. If Satan did not own those kingdoms, those earthly cities, he could not have offered them. He also knew that Jesus had been, before the foundation with God, that Jesus was extremely intelligent, more than any other man. And he knew that Jesus knew he could have whatever he offered. Jesus didn't say, oh, you're a liar. You don't own any of these things. You can't give me these things. No. He admitted, yes, in a way. He basically said, yes, they're yours. But don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't try to tempt me, he said. I will not have these things. But he admitted that they belong to Satan. Now, Satan owns every town, every city, some more than others. We see in the United States, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Chicago, Houston, Texas, Detroit, all these cities that are very evil. Murders, rapes, break-ins, burglaries, horrible things occur. Drugs, of course. Illegal drugs. And we sort of lead the whole pack. But other cities, Rio de Janeiro, Tokyo and others, I mean, they're right there with us. They're almost, almost to the level of a San Francisco or a Chicago or New York City. Why wouldn't our leaders be the most evil in the world? We are the superpower on the earth. We're the ones that bring most death and destruction to the world. We're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, and particularly a Supreme Court judge, Antonin Scalia. Was he a pedophile? Was he a sodomite homosexual? Why, he had 9 children. How could it be? But then John Roberts is homosexual, the Supreme Court Chief Justice. He's got 2 adopted kids. These people use their kids as covers, and they do terrible things. I think we need to look at Antonin Scalia, because we are told he was a wonderful Christian man, a conservative judge. But we shall see. We shall see. Now, let's talk about some other things I want you to know about. Franklin Graham. Boy, his salary was recently released, and man, sure raised some eyebrows with me. Then there's the Church of Love. Now, I told you last week, or last month, that is, on Secrets about Tomorrowland. Hundreds of thousands go each year to a, let's say, a religious retreat. That's what it is. They go to Tomorrowland, and it's held at different locations in the world. Right now, it's been held at, in Belgium for several years. People come from all over the world. It's a satanic festival. And they have a church of love there. What would a church of love be doing at Tomorrowland? Hey, do the Jews dominate Hollywood? Do they control Hollywood? Well, you know they do. But now another Jew admits it. We'll discuss that. And then there's a comedian. Naturally, she's Jewish. Laura Leibovitz. Oh, brother. She's a comedian. She says, I want to castrate every conservative Christian male. I want to castrate every conservative Christian male. Ha, ha, ha. We're supposed to laugh at that. We're supposed to laugh at these filthy, dirty rat Jews who are comedians. I don't think so. The Zika virus. Wow. Or is it pronounced Zika? I pronounce it Zika virus. Z-I-K-A. The World Health Organization says it's a public health emergency. And who created it? It was created in the lab. Who has the ability to create a virus that can be contracted by mosquito bite and then be given to other? It's very contagious, they say, and it may be spreading around the world. Why would they create such a thing in the laboratory? Who did that? Who has the ability? Why is it no one's asking questions? And then there's the German woman who shocked people at an interfaith event in Germany. It was a mass for peace. A mass, Catholic mass for peace. Oh, yes, sure. She went there, but in the midst of the Muslim imam beginning his call to prayer during the concert, this small, brave German woman named Heidi interrupted him. She just stood up in the theater and she screamed, Jesus Christ alone is Lord of Germany. Wow. Didn't that take guts? Think about it. Think about it. Well, we'll have more on that. Hey, the sex gods and goddesses of Judaism. They have sex gods and goddesses. And the Jews actually pray to them. How dare I say it? Unholy sex with these creatures from the Kabbalah? If they do so, then they're not a religion. They're a phallic sect, a sex cult. Man. Well, let's get into all these things. See how much fun we can have exposing the devil? He doesn't like to be exposed. He doesn't like my volume of secrets. But I think it's humorous. I think it's hilarious. You know, when the Supreme Court came out with its ruling that same-sex marriage was constitutional and had to be honored by everybody, including Christians, at first I was revolted, disgusted. But then I began to think about it, you know? This is laughable. This is hilarious. We know the world is wicked. We know that Satan is God of this world for a little while. I like that. You know, how would you like to be brought in by God, stand before his throne and said, I'm going to give you this world. And, oh, you jump up and down. You're high-fiving the other devils. And, oh, you're so happy. He says, for a little while. Uh-oh. Then a gloomy pall comes over the crowd. For a little while. Then I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to throw you into the pit of hell where you'll burn forever and ever. Oh, my. Oh, I think about that. Then you laugh, don't you? Now, I know it brings torment and misery, and I'm sorry about that. But if you're tormented, if you're miserable, it's so short compared to eternity. I think about that. You know, I'm getting a little older. I'm not going to tell you how old. Well, yes, I guess I will. I'm not going to hide it. I'm 39. No, it was Jack Benny, wasn't it, Jerry? Jerry's over here. It wasn't Jack Benny that said he was 39. He was always 39 years of age. when he was 70, I think he still said he was 39, right? Well, you know, I'm past 39. In fact, let's see, 39 plus 30. Well, anyway. Oh, yes. You know, we folks who are a little older, we're just smarter, aren't we? We're more intelligent. We're wise. Some of us. You know, you should be more happy the older you get. They say older people are sad. They're, you know, just old crabs. You heard of that? Crab. Think of a crab. You know? I mean, they're ugly, aren't they? Have you ever seen a crab face to face? Well, I haven't really, but I've seen pictures of them. I mean, they're weird looking, strange looking faces. That's like some old people. But then there's other people that are, they're happy and they smile. They can be 90 years old, but they're angelic. They used to have a commercial here on television. Some vacuum cleaner company. Austin Vacuum Cleaner Company. That was it. Used to have this old lady. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's not a mature lady. Let's just say very mature, very mature. But she talked about this vacuum cleaner. She was a sales rep. She was on the commercial, this old lady, and she loved that vacuum cleaner. And she was talking about their service, how they did great service if your vacuum cleaner broke or whatever, they came out and fixed whatever. She would end the commercial by saying, "I like that. I like that." And smile big. And boy, they said that was the most effective commercial they had on television here in Austin at that time. That old lady smiling and saying, "I like that." I liked it myself, and I laughed about that many times. I actually wanted to meet the lady. I never had time, but I thought, boy, wouldn't that be fun to meet her? I bet she's a blast. I bet she's fun. I think that's what heaven's going to be like. We're going to have a lot of fun. Oh. Now, what was I talking about before I got off on the fun thing, Jerry? Oh, so, that is funny. Think about it, folks. Same-sex marriage. Now, think about the Constitution. The Constitution of Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and John Adams, and all the great founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. Don't you just know they added a block in there and said, you know, men can marry men and women can marry women. And if you don't agree to that, you know, if governments don't agree to that, they're denying them their constitutional rights. That wouldn't have flown at all. I mean, they'd have been ratted out of town. People would have got sticks and beat our founding fathers, driven them into the sea, laughed at them. They would have actually laughed at them. They wouldn't have gotten mad at them. They'd just said, "You're crazy. We don't want you as our leaders." But here are these 9 Supreme Court judges, all of their pompous black robes, and they're all there, you know, ooh, we're supposed to just, ooh, that's the Supreme Court. And they found it. They found it in I have to laugh. They found it in the Constitution. Now the Constitution is very thin. It's not even one. It couldn't even be a chapter in a medium sized book. But they found it in there. Same sex marriages are constitutional, and you can't even prohibit them, or you're violating the law. That's in the Constitution. Now I used to teach the Constitution at the university. And I must have really been a bad professor. I never told my students that was in the Constitution. I never said, "Here it is on page 13. See paragraph D, talks about same-sex marriage." I never did. I don't know why I didn't. It must be there. I mean, these 9 wise judges tells us it's there. I mean, some 250 years ago, our founding fathers put it there, didn't they? And it's been hidden. It's been hidden up until this time. Then suddenly these 9 judges got out their little microscope and they found it. Oh, thank God they found it. Oh, my. You have to laugh at these people. You know, they what was it, Schopenhauer who had the, he said every great idea, and that's not a great idea, by the way. That's a crummy idea. But every great idea, he said, is always met at first by ridicule. People ridicule it. He said, it's ridicule, but people scorn it. They're angry over it. And then people laugh about it. And then people accept it.
Well, I'm already at the hilarious stage. I've gone past the scorning stage, and I'm just laughing. If I see two guys holding hands, if they had a marriage certificate in their hand, I'd just roar. They'd say, "What do you think about our marriage, Tex?" I'd say, "You're just fools. You're just idiots. And you're laughable. I'm going to laugh at you." Boy, that would really make, that makes them madder. That makes them so angry. You know, that's what happens to me. I've gone to meetings before and some guys say, "I don't believe 9/11 was a conspiracy." I say, "Well, here, pull up your pants, check your socks. You probably have one red and one blue." You're an idiot. They're idiots. They don't know any better. Conspiracy, my friends, is a science. It's a science. Conspiracies. We have a 2-hour course here in the ministry. You can order it. It's only, I've got it on CD or tape. It's called Conspiracy Science, Introduction to Conspiracy Science. Tells you what all the aspects. There's great conspiracy scientists in America. We lead the whole world. And they're much more knowledgeable than political scientists, social scientists, all these other medical scientists. They're extremely knowledgeable about conspiracies. Well, let me tell you about a conspiracy. It appears that we have 9 Supreme Court judges, or we did have 9, till Antonin Scalia met his demise down here in West Texas. And of those 9, turns out that 5 were Roman Catholics, and 4 are Jews. Now, that's very strange, isn't it? That there's no Protestants among the group. There's no Southern Baptist. There's no Presbyterians. Just Jews and Catholics. Now, that doesn't make it very representative of America, does it? But now, of the Jews, now 2% of all Americans, they say up to 2%, are Jews. Just 2%. But 4 of the 9 Supreme Court judges are Jews. They seem to be overrepresented. 4 knights. What is that? That's about 45%. 45% are Jews, but only 2% of the people of America are Jewish. Protestants get none at all. No evangelicals on the court at all. I think we'll scream. We'll holler. Or maybe we should laugh. I don't know which. Now, Judge Scalia, have a report here about him. Listen to this. This is an article, February 18th. From the internet. It says, on February the 16th, Nathan Lewin, a Washington-based U.S. Supreme Court attorney, not a judge now, he's just an attorney, mourned the death of so-called Italian Catholic Justice Antonin Scalia, 79. Lewin commented to the Jewish Journal. That's a publication here in America. The Jewish Journal. Lewin, an attorney, commented, quote, and listen, this is what he says about his friend Scalia, as it turns out. When there was no Jewish justice on the Supreme Court, Justice Scalia told me he considered himself the Jewish justice. Oh, but wasn't he Catholic? He told me he considered himself the Jewish justice. Then he goes on to say something. Now listen to this, folks. Listen very carefully. Scalia's admiration for Jews and for Jewish learning explains the frequent references in his opinions to the Talmud and to other Jewish sources, and the significant number of Orthodox Jewish law clerks he hired. His admiration for Jews and Jewish learning explains the frequent references in his opinions to the Talmud and other Jewish sources, and the significant number of Orthodox Jewish law clerks he hired. Turns out he was a real admirer and a fan of the Jewish Talmud, which is about 36 volumes long of Jewish law and commentary. It's those laws that Jesus said were man-made traditions from Satan. But somehow, this great Catholic justice, this
great so-called conservative justice believed in them. He even set up a Jewish Lawyers Foundation in Washington, D.C., where he went and he was a professor. He taught the Jews the law, and he used the Talmud to do so. He said he wanted to use the Jewish Talmud in his findings and his rulings from the court, from the Supreme Court of the United States. He considered himself the Jewish justice. He was, according to Nathan Lewin, this attorney in a Jewish journal, Justice Scalia was the Jewish Gentile. He says the death, this is from the, now the from a Jewish publication, the death of Scalia leaves only four Jewish judges. Well, now that's interesting. On the Supreme Court, including two lesbians, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. Wow. Says right there. There's two, they're both queers. Both, you know, we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah Central here, folks. So now there's only four. There were five Jewish justices because Scalia said, I consider myself a Jewish justice, not a Catholic. But wait just a minute. Is the Pope Catholic? You heard that old saying? You know, we've got a video here. Is the Pope Catholic? It shows him going to the Roman synagogue in Rome, Italy, and telling the Jews they don't need Jesus. Yeah, that's in my video. Is the Pope Catholic? You can order that video. Is the Pope Catholic? And I conclude that he's not Catholic. Well, maybe if you consider the Catholic Church as Mystery Babylon, then he is Catholic. He goes to Israel and says, you don't have to believe in Jesus. You have your own Hindu sages. What? The Pope told the Hindus, what a miserable religion that is, told them that they don't need Jesus. They have their own sages. And then he invited a Hindu priestess up on the stage. And before 100,000 Hindus, he took the mark of Shiva on his forehead. Was that sort of like the mark of the beast? That's in my video. There it is. The mark is on his head. She put it in ashes on his head, put a mark on his head. The Pope had the mark. Is the Pope Catholic? I want to ask the question, was Justice Scalia Catholic or was he a Jew? How can Americans get such a horrible man? Ronald Reagan appointed him to the Supreme Court in 1986, 30 years ago. And for 30 years, he's been masquerading as a Catholic when all along he's been a Jew. Well, he's a Jewish Gentile. There are many people like him. They masquerade as a whatever religion, but they're Jews. Crypto Jews. But there's more. There's more to Justice Scalia. When we return, I'm going to tell you some things about Justice Scalia, as they used to say when I was a young teenage boy in East Texas, that'll knock your socks off. Now, I know you ladies don't wear socks. You wear stockings or whatever. You're more dignified. Okay, they'll knock your stockings off then. Oh, they will. Justice Scalia spent his last hours on earth with members of a secret society of elite hunters. Saint Hubertus, the Order of Saint Hubertus. They all met at Cibolo Creek Lodge. Secluded from the world, these 35 men. What did they do there? Does it have anything to do with Sodom and Gomorrah? Could they? Oh, well, surely not. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Power of Prophecy. You're listening to a volume of Secrets, volume 234. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, my newest book is really opening up a lot of eyes. It's entitled Pastors and churches gone wild. You know, they had several videos a couple of years ago entitled Girls Gone Wild. And boy, I thought that's just terrible. I would see, you know, ads for those things on TV, and I think that's terrible, terrible. Well, come to find out the pastors and churches were just as wild, maybe more wild, because they're supposed to be, well, they're supposed to have a little bit of decorum, a lot of decorum, some dignity. How about some dignity, pastors? But these guys don't have any. You'll learn about the Pig Alley Club. It's a church in London, in Piccadilly Square, and they painted it pink. A church painted pink. When you go there, pay attention to the guys at the door. They're guys, but they look like, they're dressed like nuns. But they're big, burly guys with beards, dressed like nuns. They're transvestites. They invite you in. If that sounds kooky, when you go in, it's even crazier. There's one of the most popular Catholic priests in Great Britain is there. But wait, there are all these girls there. And then there's, Tony Blair is a member. He says he's a Christian now. He was the prime minister, you know, of Great Britain. He's the guy who gave the United States the intelligence. His intelligence service gave George W. Bush and Dick Cheney the intelligence. And they got this intelligence, and it said that, guess what? That Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. That's the intelligence. Now, George Bush admits it was false. It was a mistake. I made a mistake. You would think that somebody would check out intelligence that came from a prime minister who's a member of the Pig Alley Club, which is a transvestite Sodom and Gomorrah club. How could that be accurate? It was all a setup. Well, I suspect that George W. Bush, when he goes to London, he probably visits the Pig Alley Club. But there's others, too. There's the 4,000 rabbis that invited as one of their guest speakers at their big convention, one of the most famous pastors in America, Rick Warren. Boy, I bet he really told them something about Jesus, didn't he? I bet you he whipped them into shape. I bet he told them that they had crucified the Messiah, the very God. I mean, that's what, remember St. Stephen in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and 8? That's what he did. He said, you crucified the Christ, the Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Boy, the Jews were angry at St. Stephen. He became the first Christian martyr. They were so angry at him, they attacked him. Because he told them, you have crucified the Son of God. They jumped on him in the streets of Jerusalem. And they actually gnawed him. They took chunks out of him, I suppose. Because it says they just gnashed at him with their teeth. Can you imagine? They were like human cannibals. Like vampires. And he looked up to heaven as he was being assaulted and murdered and stoned. And he said, Father, forgive them. He was a Christian, you see. Father, don't hold it to their account, he said. They say he had a countenance like an angel. Stephen had a countenance like an angel. Wow. I would have loved to have met that man. I think I will someday. I will. I know there's going to be a lot of people in heaven, but maybe if I asked special, if I just said, well, just the one person I would like to meet is Stephen. He didn't preach all the sermons that Paul did and Peter did. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles, but he had a countenance like an angel. No wonder he preached to the Jews and they became so angry. Oh, Jonathan Edwards was a great minister back in the early days of America. He wrote a book, In the Hands of an Angry God. And Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher, and he trained many young preachers, and he sent them out to different churches to preach. And they said, Jonathan Edwards, one young pastor came back,
And Jonathan said, well, how did it go, young man? Did you preach to him? He said, yes, sir, I did. Did you preach to him the truth right from the Bible? Yes, sir, I did. Well, what was their response? He said, well, they didn't believe me. They didn't believe you? No, sir. They got real angry. Oh, Jonathan Edwards jumped up. He said, that's wonderful. You got them angry. That's great. Now you must have really been preaching. You get them angry. Now, a lot of pastors think, oh, I failed. The people got angry at me. You know, they're calling me bad names, saying I'm an idiot and all kinds. I'm just a failure. No. Have you ever done that with people? You've told them about various things, the conspiracy and about Jesus, and you feel so lonely. You know, it's like Jane Perloff's book we are offering now. Truth is a lonely warrior. Oh, you're lonely. You say, why me, Lord? I'm the only one. Everybody's laughing at me. Well, if they're laughing at you, that maybe, but if they get mad at you, boy, that's really great. You got them now. Well, you'll probably laugh a lot when you read this book. I laughed when I was writing it. I did. I laughed. One guy says, I'm Mr. 666. And he told people, God wants you to give me money. And they brought it. He has three churches. He requires, though, everybody in his church to have a tattoo on their body. And that tattoo must be of a 666. He says, I'm the reincarnated Jesus. Oh, my. The people are excited. They say, this is Jesus, come back again. And the number 666 is a good and a holy number. Oh, my. How can they be so deceived? Well, it's what Satan does. Just like Justice Scalia I'm talking about here. He was deceived. I want you to have this book. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. $22. It's a sort of a big book. A lot of some color pictures in it. I don't say a lot of them, but some color pictures in it. You'll enjoy it. You know, the guy they told me not, don't be interviewed by this guy, this talk show host up in Chicago. He'll make mincemeat out of you. He'll make fun of you. He makes fun out of Christians. Well, I just had to see that guy. I had to be interviewed by him, didn't I? I couldn't say no. My publisher said, don't do it, Tex. We don't want any author to go see him. He makes fun of Christians. And the first words out of his mouth, I sit down. He didn't shake hands, anything. He was reading my book, and he looked up at me. And they said, you know, the green light goes on in the studio. And he knew that he was on. It was being broadcast throughout the Midwest in the most popular talk show. He was like the Rush Limbaugh of his day. And he said to me, well, you must be some kind of a fundamentalist Christian fanatic. And I said, well, boy, you haven't even read my book. You just scanned it and you found that out about me. I said, yeah, that's fantastic. You found that out. That's great. And I laughed. And then he began to laugh. Well, we had the most fun time we've ever, you know, both of us had in a long time, an hour and a half of fun. My book was entitled Dark Secrets of the New Age. He said, I like your book. I like your attitude. Most folks would get mad at me, but you laughed. I said, well, what can I do? What you said about me being an ignorant fundamentalist fanatic. Oh, my. $22. $5 shipping and handling. That's right. We have to ship it and put it together and put it in a package and send it to you and all that. A total of $27. Ask for the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. They've gone berserk. You'll like this book. But I bet you it makes you mad. It'll make you angry at some. Then sometimes you'll laugh. It's got hundreds of stories in there. You'll like it. All right? $27 includes shipping and handling. Please ask for the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Get it from our ministry, of course, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go online, powerofprophecy.com. When you're on there, read some of those interesting stories we've got. In the news, we have news, breaking news. Well, it's usually a day or two old, but anyway, it's good news, interesting stuff. And you can order this book while you're reading our newsletter. powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Don't spell my name wrong, please. TEXEMARRS. Oh, you're probably going to misspell it. But anyway, powerofprophecy.com. And then, of course, you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-WORD, W-O-R-D. That's what 9673 stands for. All right, now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Justice Scalia, Antonin Scalia. Now, I've got an article here from the Washington Post. Now, it turns out that Judge Scalia was found with a pillow over his head. They said he had died peacefully. He had his night clothes, and he lay there on his bed peacefully with a pillow over his head. Now, I want to read you this article by Amy Britton and Sorrel Horowitz. In the Washington Post, it says, Justice Scalia, this just came out now, folks. Get this. I want you to listen very carefully. I think you're going to understand what really happened here. Justice Scalia spent his last hours with members of a secret society of elite hunters. Now, I read to you from the article of the Washington Post. It says, when Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died at a West Texas ranch, he was among high-ranking members of an exclusive fraternity for hunters called the International Order of St. Hubertus, an Austrian society that dates back to the 1600s. Okay, now I told you he was a member of the Opus Dei, right? The secret order of the Catholic Church. Now we know that also he was a member of this exclusive fraternity. It says, after Scalia's death, the names of the 35 other guests at the remote resort have remained largely unknown. But a review of records shows that some of the men who were with Scalia at the ranch are connected through the International Order of St. Hubertus, whose members gathered at least once before at the same ranch for a celebratory weekend. What do they celebrate? A celebratory weekend. It said members of the worldwide male-only society wear dark green robes emblazoned with a large cross and the motto, Dum diligente, animalia diligentes, which means, now this is emblazoned on this, these full-length dark green robes these members wear. The motto means, it's in Latin, it means honoring God by honoring his creatures. Now think about that. Honoring God by honoring his creatures. Then suppose that they go forth hunting and kill, you know, partridges and, you know, things like that. They hold titles such as Grand Master, Prior, and Knight Grand Officer. Cibolo Creek Ranch owner John Poindexter and C. Allen Foster, a prominent Washington lawyer who traveled to the ranch with Scalia by private plane, hold leadership positions within the order. So Poindexter, who, by the way, is a good friend also of Barack Obama, and had traveled to Washington, D.C. before and had gotten an award, I think the Freedom Award, from Obama, John Poindexter. Now, I want you to think of that. The Latin inscription, or emblazoned on their dark green robes, means honoring God by honoring his creatures. Now, isn't it a bit of a contradiction? They go forth and kill. They're a hunting society. They go forth to kill God's creatures, but they say they're honoring God's little creatures, his creatures. You know, little boys are God's creatures too. Little boys. I wonder, were there any little boys at this resort. I mean, Scalia gave orders, strict orders, that he did not want his security detail, which every Supreme Court justice has, to travel with him. He wanted to be alone with his lawyer friend and these other members who all met together and ate together and met and had this celebratory, this celebration of what? I don't know. Now, who else was there? Was Pope Francis there, the Jesuit Pope? Wasn't, wait just a minute now, friends. This was very close to the border with Mexico in Marfa, near Marfa. This celebratory, this ritual meeting of the St. Hubertus Society that honors God by honoring his creatures. Wasn't Pope Francis on the border in Mexico, the border with Texas, right there? Wasn't he there the same time period? What was he doing there? Why St. Francis had been to the United States previously, and what was he doing back again into Mexico? Did he attend the Order of St. Hubertus? Did he wear one of these green robes? Was he there with this group? We do know that he has said that the Jews do not need Jesus. They have their blood, their race. They have the old covenant, which of course Jesus said is dead. He said to the Apostle Paul, it's vanishing. It never really worked. The people did not honor the code, the covenant. The Jews didn't honor the covenant. They failed the covenant. So God took away the promise from them. That says it right there in Scripture. But the Francis, he lies. He says, well, it's still good. I want to know, was he there at Cibolo Creek with Justice Scalia, the Jewish Gentile, and these other strange guests whom we don't have names. We have one of John Poindexter, who was also friends of Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, has he not been accused of being a homosexual? Oh, yes. Didn't you know about the mother of the man who was murdered in Chicago, who was the choir leader in his church, who said he had sex with Barack Obama? You know, I think the Supreme Court is a gang of filthy, dirty, well, you know what I know. Okay, now let's go to another subject. The Church of Love. I talked about the Church of Tomorrowland that was held over in Europe, and hundreds of thousands attended. It's a big satanic festival. They come from, and it costs hundreds of dollars to attend it. They must have money. But they have I forgot to mention to you, the Church of Love that's held there. It says the festival has an area that is specially designed for lovers, recent couples, new friends. Now, it's a proverbial love shack. It's right on the grounds of Tomorrowland. Attendees can go there and find a bed. They have condoms and clean up tissues. It's designed to be used for sex. Anytime you want sex, you got a partner, you just go in and use one of their beds. It's like a great big tent and all these beds, like a dormitory style. They give these people 15 minutes to partake in their sexual worship service, I guess you could say. It's actually called the Church of Love. Boy, now that's like Satan, isn't it? Man. 15 minutes you get. They give you a bed. They give you condoms or whatever. You can have it be two men, two women, or man and a woman. Doesn't matter. Oh, my. Well, a Jewish journalist has admitted that Jews do dominate Hollywood. You're not prejudiced by saying this. You're not bigoted. It's the truth. This is from therealistreport.com. It says, Jay Michelson, a prominent Jewish journalist for the Jewish Daily Forward, published an article in which he not only admits that Jews dominate Hollywood, but he urges Jewish media moguls to recruit and hire blacks and women for leading roles in Hollywood films. It looks like white people just don't get a break in Hollywood. The Jews run it, and women and blacks get all the parts. Maybe a few Hispanics. The Jews control Hollywood. It's correct. Well, Jay Michelson says so. Meanwhile, here's somebody that you'll want to know about. Boy, this is just incredible. A feminist comedian says, I want to castrate every conservative Christian male. This is from the Examiner.com. Laura Levites. She's a very liberal comedian. She said she'd like to rip out some person's uterus. I don't know about that, but she says, I would like to personally castrate every male conservative Christian so that they may have no reproductive rights, she said, using the hashtag Hobby Lobby. She's mad at Hobby Lobby because they're a Christian business. Oh, boy. She expressed her hatred of Christians in a tweet. She called conservative Christians scumbags and said they were really trying her patience. Boy, why can't Agent Orange be legal, she said. Boy, enough of that. If you see Laura Levites, well, just turn the channel. Watch something else. Zika virus. World Health Organization says it's a big public health emergency. Who gave us this? The Zika virus. Wow. You get something called microencephaly, a virus. It can destroy the brain. They say this can be passed on through sex. It's sort of like AIDS. It's a virus. And more people are getting it. But they say that it was evidently came from a laboratory. Who has laboratories that, and they're developing biological agents? Wouldn't that be the United States of America? And didn't this first show up in South America and Central America? No, it couldn't be. We United States people, we don't do things like that. It could not be us. Don't accuse us. Unless, of course, you're a truth teller. Hey, a German woman's really brave. She publicly rebuked Islam. You see, a Welsh composer, Carl Jenkins, had a concert called The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace. Oh, he was going to be an interfaith event. Ooh, to bring Christians and Muslims together. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. He had a big audience going for him there in Germany. And as part of the mass, the act, he had a Muslim imam get up in one of those little big towers, you know, the minaret, and begin his call to prayer. Whatever they do with their little mouths, you know. The sound that Barack Obama said is the most lovely sound in the world he had ever heard. Yeah, Barack Obama said that. A small, brave German woman stood up in the middle of the audience. Her name was Heidi Mund, M-U-N-D. Now, Heidi interrupted him and declared, listen to this, what she said. Jesus Christ alone is Lord of Germany, she shouted. I break this curse. Woo! Man. Now, the event took place at the Memorial Church of the Reformation. It was in the city of Speyer. That church, it turns out, was built to honor the Protestant reformer, Martin Luther. Boy, I tell you, if you could do so, he would be spinning in his grave, but of course he can't. He is up in heaven, though. Now, what was the Protestant Reformation all about? To break the tyranny that was imposed by the Pope and the Catholic Church. And there they were having this devilish festival of Muslims and Christians trying to put them together. But Heidi says, she said, I was asking Jesus before this event, Lord, shall I go there? I had to drive 1.5 hours. Is it worth it to go? She decided to go. She took her German flag with her, with the words, Jesus Christ is Lord, emblazoned on it. Think about that. She had them sewed on there, Jesus Christ is Lord, on her German flag. I did not know what to do with my flag. She just sat there until the imam started his song. And then I immediately knew what to do. I was not prepared for what God wanted me to do, but I immediately knew what to do. She stood up. She said, Jesus Christ alone is Lord of Germany. I break this curse. Wow. Somebody screamed at her and said, this is a concert for peace. But Heidi was not finished. She said, quote, no, it's not. Allahu Akbar is what Muslims scream while murdering people. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. This is a lie. She was removed from the church. I bet everybody there remembers that. And this article has gone around the world, this horrible, bigoted Christian woman, what she did. Can you imagine if people all around the globe did this? If people were as brave as Heidi? Oh, my. Well, here's something else for you, folks. I don't know about this. It's Franklin Graham. His annual compensation, just for his salary, is $880,000. That was just revealed in the Charlotte Observer. A Christian said, I don't see anything wrong with it. If Satan pays well, God should pay better. Is that what God pays? Money? In the book of Timothy, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. $880,000. Now, he still gets money from his books and all kinds of things, speaking engagements. This is just from the Samaritan's Purse. I don't know how much he gets from the Billy Graham organization. $880,000. You know, I've never got $880,000 in my life. Maybe my whole life you could, everything, but how many other leaders get that? Does your church's pastor, does he make $880,000? Oh my, my goodness gracious. Well, let's see, there's so much to go here. Maybe I should talk about the sex gods and goddesses of Judah. Oh, we already talked about that so many times. But I want to quote to you from Michael Hoffman here. Boy, he's absolutely on target. I'm going to do some work on this. In fact, I'm writing a book now. It'll be out 1 May. 1 May. You'll see it in my May 1st newsletter. 1 May. Absolutely. Will be out. I've already written it. It's being formatted right now. It's already finished. I've got the cover. What a striking cover it's got. It's entitled, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Oh, yes, they worship the Holy Serpent. They pray to him. That can't be. That can't be. You got to be made. You got to make that up, Tex. No, I don't. Hoffman, in his book, Judaism's Strange Gods, which we offer, by the way, Michael Hoffman says, Judaism is not based on the Old Testament. Every pastor thinks it is, but they're all wrong. He says Judaism is not based on the Old Testament. Judaism's God is not the God of Israel, but the strange gods and goddesses of the Talmud and Kabbalah. And the serpent is one of those gods. I can name for you at least 10 gods and goddesses that are found in the Jewish Kabbalah. It's a sex cult. They're all sex gods and goddesses. I thought the Greeks and the Romans worshiped the gods and goddesses. And that sort of died out when Christianity took hold. But the Jews kept it up. They took it from Babylon, from Egypt, and they worship gods and goddesses. You've heard that they only worship the Shema, the one God? No, no. Michael Hoffman tells the truth. And when you read my book, it's coming out 1 May, you'll understand. They worship the serpent, ultimately. The serpent. He's their Messiah. They need Jesus, don't they? He's the only one that can rescue Israel. He's the only one that can redeem a wasted life, make it worthwhile, make it happy, victorious. Jesus Christ. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.